So good to see y'all here today. And before we get into the lesson, because my name's up here, I want to talk about me for a second. Is that okay? So some of our kids are going to be going to Camp Smiling Acres here in a few weeks for camp. I'm going to get to go too. I'm going to be the Bible teacher at first session of camp and at third session of camp. And I am excited about it. It's been so long since I've been at camp, and I can't wait to be there with the kids and learning from them much more so than they're going to be learning from me. So I'm very excited about that. Just wanted to let y'all know. So today we honor not just the mothers, but all of the ladies of the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ. Now, the writer of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, tells us that his mother, his Jewish mother, reminded him over and over while he was growing up, a woman of Allah, who can find? Well, we are convinced that the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is full of women of valor. And it is our joy to show all of you honor today. If you're visiting with us today, it's our privilege to honor you as well. And perhaps you're doubtful that such a high and lofty title, Woman of Valor, should be given to you. Perhaps you're thinking, oh, you don't know the real me. I struggle so hard with fear, I struggle with doubts, I struggle with anxiety. No, we see you. We know you. And better than that, God sees you and God knows you, a woman of valor. That's a name he has given to you to serve you as an anchor point when life just threatens to overwhelm you. So may you rest in that thought today. Know that we see you as God sees you, women of valor. So, ladies and gentlemen, got a question for you. How would you like to be known, only known for, in fact, to only be remembered throughout all of history for only your biggest mistake? You know, that one moment that you wish you had back again, that moment when you let down your guard, that moment when impulse took over, that moment when your better judgment was overruled, that moment you did something that you knew you shouldn't do. And that's what you remember for. But Steve Bartman might be one. He wasn't one I thought about, but Steve Bartman, some of y'all know, the Chicago Cubs fan who reached over to catch a foul ball and prevented the Cubs from winning the World Series. He didn't actually, but that's what ended up happening, so he got blamed for it. History is, in fact, littered with people who fall into that category. The one, who? It doesn't count. Benedict Arnold. Y'all know him for one thing, right? He did more than that. How about Aaron Burr? Aaron Burr. A great man in many ways. We remember him for only one thing. What? He shot Alexander Hamilton. That's the only thing we remember him for. What a legacy. What a harsh, terrible legacy. Today I want to take a few minutes to look at somebody in the Bible whose name for thousands of years has been remembered for that one big mistake. It's a lady. You'll have no trouble guessing who it is when I tell you that her name kind of rhymes with deceived. Anybody know? Eve. And yeah, okay, the fall of mankind is kind of a big deal. Okay? Kind of a big thing. To be responsible for that? Okay. But good grief. Eve has not only been the one blamed for that big mistake, her one moment of lapse of judgment, but the fact that Eve was deceived as she gave in to temptation, that has been used ever since in this fallen world, a world which, by the way, is run pretty much only by men, but that moment has been used to broad brush paint all women as being easily deceived, as being easily used of Satan. Here's a quote from no less than St. Augustine himself, or St. Augustine, however you say it. Look what he said. What is the difference whether it is a wife or mother? It is still Eve, the temptress, that we must beware of in any woman. And come on, St. Aug. Tell us how you really feel. Oh, my goodness. It's this kind of foolishness. It's this kind of foolishness that has colored the lens through which we read Scripture, the way Scripture has been read for way too long, in which we are thankfully beginning to realize led us to places the Spirit did not intend for us to go, and for which we are thankfully beginning to find our way out of. Well, Eve's story goes all the way back to chapter 1 of Genesis, something we may not have noticed in our eagerness to get to chapter 2. But chapter 1 essentially tells the story of God's relationship to all of creation. The perspective changes slightly in chapter 2 to focus on God's relationship specifically with people. But in chapter 1, we get this. Then God said, "Let us make human beings so that they are like us. Let them rule over the fish in the seas," Mark. That's your favorite line, I know. "And the birds of the sky. Let them rule over the livestock and all the wild animals, and let them rule over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created human beings in his own likeness. He created them to be like himself. He created them as male and female. Human beings. Y'all ready for some Hebrew? The Hebrew word that is translated here as human beings. Anyone want to guess what that word is? It's Adam. Adam, we say. Adam. We see here no sense of hierarchy, no sense of one being less than the other one, not as good as, not as worthy as the other one. They, both, the male and the female, are created equal. If I can use our famous words from the Declaration of Independence. Both equally reflecting the imago Dei, the image of God. And I would argue that it takes both of them, male and female, together to fully display the image of God. I'm going to leave that thought with you to ponder on later on today. Because I know you're anxious to get on to chapter 2. You know, chapter 2, where we find out that man was created first. And so, first is better, right? First is better. Better than second. And so in God's eyes, I guess, men are better. And therefore, men must take all the leadership roles. Well, let me remind you that if first is better, well, the animals came before man. And the plants before that. Right? And I won't even mention about how many times God passed over the firstborn in order to use in his plan the ones who came second or later, like Jacob and Judah and Joseph and Moses and David, just to name a few. Well, you'll recall how after each day of creation, God saw that it was good, right? Y'all remember that? In fact, at the end of chapter 1, it tells us this. Then God looked over all he had made and saw it was very good. It was very good. But then chapter 2 comes along, looking at God's relationship with creation and with people. It tells us something else. It tells us something different. It tells us, and the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is right for him. There's something not good about being alone. True in the beginning, it's still true. And that's one reason, among many, but that's one reason why God calls us into a family, into his church. It's not good for us to be alone as we try to follow Jesus. If you're trying to follow, to live for Jesus alone, you're trying to do more than you were designed for. You're trying to do more than you were created to do. Let's walk together. Amen? Okay. Well, let's go on. Because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Ambrose, just look what it says right here. The woman is the helper. She's the helper. The woman's the help. She's just the help. Helpers do the little things, the little stuff, the less important stuff, right? Well, surely God is my helper. Lord is the upholder of my life. There's that word again, helper. It's the same word here that was used back in chapter 2. More Hebrew. Ezer. Ezer is the word. I can show you many more verses than this in which God is described as Ezer, the helper. The one who does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So no. God was not bringing the man somebody to be less than him. To be a servant. To be somebody only capable of handling the little things. The less important things. Here is perhaps a clearer understanding what it said back in chapter 2, 18 about what God meant when he said, I'll make the man a helper. It's not good for the man to be alone, so I will create a companion for him, a perfectly suited partner. That's a better way of looking at it. Okay, so just a couple more observations, because I know we got to get out of here and get to lunch. for moms before the Baptists get there. Anyway, a couple more observations. Things I didn't really know about Eve's story before I started working on this week. Y'all remember the whole thing about the snake, right? The talking snake. Y'all remember that? Well, maybe the only thing stranger than a talking snake is the fact that the woman talked back to the snake. What's up with that? It's like, hey, snake, what's up? Now, I know some of you pet people talk to your pets. They'll probably think your pet talks back to you. You pet people. You know who you are. But this was that kind of conversation with your pets. This was an actual audible conversation that went on and on. Perhaps it went on many times, we don't know, before she actually gave in. Now to me, this is just me, okay? You don't have to believe this, but this is just me. I think the fact that Eve just said, hey snake, what's up? And started talking to the snake is an indication that the man and the woman probably talked to lots of animals in the garden who spoke back to them. Just my thought. Otherwise, why didn't she run screaming? Anyway. One other thing about this conversation with the snake, okay? Every time the snake uses the word you, as he's talking to the woman, guess what? It's not single you, it's plural you. It's the plural you, as in all of you, or really both of you, right? As in Adam was most likely standing right there the whole time. It's actually very clear here in this verse. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. And this raises lots of questions. Mainly, why doesn't he stop it? Why doesn't he stop this whole thing from going on? This amazing man, the one who is not deceived, as Paul tells us here, it's not Adam who was deceived by Satan, the woman was deceived. Sin was the result. 1 Timothy 2:14. Which some take as justification for the disqualification for women teaching men for all time. The argument kind of goes like this. This proves that women are too emotional. They're too gullible. They're too easily deceived to be trusted to teach men who are not easily deceived. So what do we do with women who are gifted to teach? Oh, I know. We'll let them teach other women and children. Do you see how that makes no sense? Do you see how foolish that is? Do you see that Paul really didn't mean that? That he was addressing a specific instance for a specific church back in that time. Adam wasn't deceived. Yeah, wasn't what Adam did worse? He wasn't deceived. He wasn't tricked. He wasn't fooled.
He listened to the whole conversation and said, you know what? I'm not buying what you're saying, snake. I know what God said. I know what God wants. And I'm just going to do it anyway. Y'all don't think that's worse? And look at this. Well, see if I can find it. She took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. It's like, okay, you know what Adam's thinking in his mind? You know what? I'm just going to hold off on taking a bite here just for a second. Let you go first. See about this dying thing that God told us about. See what happens before I commit. That is messed up, y'all. What a hero this man was. And then when God shows up and says, hey man, what's going on here? Hey man being, hey humans, what's going on here? The man starts the tradition that continues to this very day of throwing people under the bus. This woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. Guys, that's our role model? Really? Lord help us. Well, so there it is. Eve's big mistake. Eve's big mistake. The one thing for which she is remembered for all time. Getting us kicked out of the garden and pretty much everything else terrible that's happened since then, that's all on her. Right? What a terrible legacy. What a horrible story. But is that the end of her story? Is that it? Is that all there is to the story of Eve? Well, no. There's more. And thank God there is more. Because after this entire episode of really bad judgment from both male and female, we suddenly, and we frankly, after what we've seen, we unexpectedly see, we see some real spiritual insight and maturity from both of these people. God pronounces what's going to happen. We don't see an angry response. We don't see denial. We don't see justification. We don't see bargaining. We don't even see insisting on straightening things out our own way. What we see is they accept what God offers. The Lord God made clothes from animal skins for the man and his wife and dressed them. Their own attempts to cover their sin, to cover their shame, didn't work and couldn't work. It could not work. Now they accept the covering that God and only God could give them. Covering, by the way, which could only come through blood and death. The death of animals that they probably knew. Animals with whom, in my own way of thinking, they had probably spoken. Animals who, in my own way of thinking,
they loved. And who loved them back. And who willingly laid down their lives for the sake of their friends. How many of us are still resisting what God is offering? How many of us are still refusing what God is offering to cover us? And so they go out from the garden. But interestingly, they don't go out into a meaningless, hopeless existence where the only thing that they see ahead of them is death and dust. The Lord spoke a message of hope to them, one which you'd think, and you'd be right in thinking that it probably would have gone right over the head of these two awful sinners, but it didn't. God said it and they heard it. I will make, God said to the snake, I will make you and the woman hate each other. Your children and her children will be enemies. Her son will crush your head and you will bite his heel. Do you see it? Do you see the word of hope, of life? There will be children. There will be children, and somehow, some way, one of Eve's children is going to do something to make everything right again. Death and dust is not the final word. There is hope. There is promise of new life. And that promise is to and it is through the woman. And it suddenly becomes clear to both of them. And it is only now, after all of this has happened, that the woman is given and accepts a name. After this, the man named his wife Eve, meaning the life-giving one. For he said, she shall become the mother of all mankind. If you've noticed, throughout all of this, I kept calling her the man, the woman and the man. The woman and the man. Because she didn't have a name until all of this is over with. And then she gets and accepts her name of Eve, the life-giving one. Even all mothers are the life-giving ones. Eve's story didn't end with her big mistake. Because of God. That's where her story really begins. That's when she sets out on the path of walking in God's will, walking in God's plan for her life. God's plan, which, by the way, is beautifully illustrated here in this picture. Can you read that? It's the verse we just read. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. She will crush your head, you will crush his heel. You see who that is? That's Eve. And a pregnant Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I really love how that same picture was taken and some words were added by a sister from the Mississippi Abbey, wherever that is. Look what she added to this picture. I don't know if you can read it. It says, Mary says, my mother, my daughter, life-giving Eve. The former things have passed away. Our God has brought to us a new day, See, I am with child, through whom all will be reconciled. Oh, Eve, my sister, my friend, we will rejoice together forever. Life without end. What does your story look like? Big mistakes. Lots of them. Do you think that's the end of your story? Because of God, there can be more. There can be so much more to your story. Because of God, your new story, your true story can start now. Can start now. Let's live that new story together. Let's encourage each other as we stand and sing.